Some from Sandringham, and some have come from Dandenong, and some have come from Mill Park, and even Reservoir. Even Reservoir. Now this afternoon, I want to talk to you today about the fact that God wants us to live as sons. And we need to go through this so you get an understanding of where we're coming from. And if we just look at Romans chapter 8 for a moment. We'll give you a number of scriptures here. Romans chapter 8. Praise the Lord. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15. I read it from the King James. This is what it says. Romans 8, 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. Now, there's a lot in that. But if you're taking notes, let me just give you a couple of references. So that was Romans 8. I'll just put it up here for you. That's Romans 8, 15 to 17. And a couple more here I've noted down. I won't look at them. Galatians 4, 6 and 7. Galatians 4, 6 to 7, and I have another one, 1 John 3, 1. I'm not going to look at all those just for time's sake. 1 John. So you can look at those in your own time and study them up and get some interrelationship with God. Because we have been born again, once we come into this relationship with God, as that scripture has told us, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Now that means that everything that Jesus has, he shares with us. But it also means everything we have, we share with him. So we are joint heirs with Jesus. And so if we're going to understand that, we need to first of all take a look from Scripture at what Christ's inheritance is. So we know what we're going to share in. So we're going to look at his inheritance, and then we're going to look at our inheritance. That's what we're doing this afternoon. So Christ's inheritance includes, I'll put, should be a T in there, Christ's, and we'll put ours, okay, over this side. So you'll be able to see it on the board. So the first thing we want to say is this, that he has a name that is above every other name. Every other, running out of space, other name, okay? Scribble, okay. So number one, he has a name that's above every other name. Now, let me give you a name. There's a good name, is it? Jesus has a name that is, he's above cancer, he's above arthritis, he's above headaches, he's above knee aches, he's above toe aches, he's above belly aches, you name it, this is a greater name. So the name of Jesus Christ is greater than any other name. Philippians 2 verse 9 and 10. Let me just rub that word off there. Philippians 2, anyone find it for me? Things in heaven, things in the earth, it's about the lot, doesn't it? Everything must bow the knee to the name of Jesus. So, number one, he has a name that is above every name. Second thing is this. Everything in heaven and earth has been given to him. Heaven and earth. He came from heaven. You remember, he was the Son of God who left the glory, came down to earth and became the Son of Man. He was born of the Virgin Mary and so on. Now, you know the story. I don't need to go through all that with you again. But he was the Son of God. He became the Son of Man, and everything he in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He didn't raise the dead and unstop the deaf ears and open the blind eyes and heal the lepers. He didn't do it as the Son of God. He did it as a man in the power of the Holy Ghost. Think about it. Let that get into your consciousness. Everything he did on the earth as a man in the anointing of God. Now, let's look at this. Colossians 1. This one here. Let's say Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 20. Let's just quickly read it. Unless you found it before me and you can read it. Chapter 1, starting at verse 15. It says, now this talks about, if you've got little side notes or little subheadings in your Bible, it'll probably say something like the preeminence of Christ or something to that effect. But say verse 15, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things, listen to it, were created by him and for him. So we're talking about his inheritance now. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So all things in heaven and earth are his. Everything is his. We're talking about his inheritance. The next thing is, number three, there's only four in each of these, is the kingdom. So his inheritance includes the kingdom. Now we look at quickly Matthew 25. Now if you can get a hold of what I'm going to share this week and also next week, because it'll probably take us two Sunday afternoons to do this, it will help liberate you and free you and bring you into the blessing of God. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. Well, let's read from verse 31. Go back to 31. This is Matthew 25. I'll put it up here. Matthew 25, 31 to 34. Okay, this is what it says. Verse 31. When the Son of Man, okay, remember we told you he was the Son of God, he became the Son of Man. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall put the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand. Now let's stop there for a moment. Jesus came onto this earth as a prophet sent from God to man. Let's just take a little more space up here. He came on as a prophet sent from God to man. He went back to heaven after crucifixion, and he became our great high priest. P-R-I-E-S-T. He became our great high priest. But he's coming back again. He's not yet king. He's still a high priest. And so we talk in our prayers sometimes, and I just say this for your benefit. A lot of times we talk about, oh, well, the king, or king of kings and lord of lords. He's not yet king of kings. He's still a priest. When he comes again, he'll be the king. See? Now, have you just read that there? Then shall the king, this is when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, when he comes back again. Then shall the king say to them in his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the earth. So the kingdom was prepared for the king and those who were with the king. We're members of the kingdom. Okay? Oh, wrong color. Who did that? Number four, that's going to be. Number four is this. We who are in the kingdom. Now that's not the United States, that's us. Okay? So this is part of Christ, this is all Christ's inheritance. Let me put a line down there. On this side of the board. Is the name above every name, all heaven and earth, the kingdom, and everything in the kingdom, including us. Now let's look at a couple of these references here. 1 Kings 8:51. 1 Kings 8:51. And 53. If you find Kings before I turn there, 1 Kings 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I'm there. 1 Kings 8, verse 51. Here we are. Here it is, listen to it. For they be thy people. They be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron. Verse 53. 1 Kings 51 and 53. Okay. 53 says, 1 Kings chapter 8, Come on, Russell, you're lagging behind. Oh, it wasn't me, Lord. It was the woman you gave me. 1 Kings 8:51-53. Listen, for thou didst separate them from among the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou speakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. So the people, us, the people, okay? We are part of his inheritance. So this is Christ's inheritance, I-N-H-E-R-I-T-A-N-C-E, okay? So we are now, as we read in the beginning, we are heirs of God and joint heirs. Okay? All of that we are joint heirs with. Now, because of that, because we're with him and we're in him, remember, our whole message is about being what? In Christ. Okay, that's what we teach all the time. It's all about being in Christ. And I've said it before. There's 134 references in the New Testament alone that talks about in him, in whom, etc. And most of you have heard me say all this before. But because we are heirs together with him, our inheritance also involves, let me just put this R's out of the way a little bit here and take that. Give us a little more space to write with. I'll do it in another color. What about blue? How would that do? Okay, so this is R. H-E-R-I-T-A-N-C-E. Our inheritance. Now remember, we're joint heirs with Jesus. So this is what we have. Number one, we have the name of Jesus. Oh, name of Jesus. Okay? Now, there's lots of references you can use, but probably the one that you hear us use more than anything, and this is because this one was very close to Elizabeth's heart. It's John 14. Verse 13 and 14, if you want to look at that or read it. You may remember that you've heard Elizabeth testify, or at least I have testified on her behalf, that when I was out there in the world, you know, being a dance hall bouncer and doing all those things that I used to do, that Elizabeth cried out to God and she said, God, save my husband. Lord, heal my husband. And oh yes, Lord, clean up his mouth as well. And this was the basis of that prayer. Has anyone found that? John 14, verse 13 and 14. Read it if you found it for me.
And what
for
you shall ask in my
name, yeah.
That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Okay. Whatever you ask in my name, we have the name of Jesus. So he says, whatever you ask in my name, that the Father may be glorified. Now, I've explained this verse once before, but for the benefit of anyone who wasn't here, I'll say it again. In that verse where it says, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will do it. What that is saying is that if I haven't got it, I'll make it for you. Now, but over here we find he's got everything anyway, so he's not going to have to make anything. He's already got it. But that's really what it says. He says, whatever you ask in my name, if I haven't got it available, I'll make it for you. Okay, so we have the name of Jesus. Number two, we have everything in heaven and earth. Okay? You can understand everything in heaven and in earth. And Ephesians 1:22. Sorry, my scribbles are not... they are improving. They're not getting worse. They're getting better. Ephesians 1:22. If you find that, read it for me.
He hath put all things under his feet and given him, gave him to be the head over all things to the church.
Okay. He's put all things under his feet and given him to be head over all things to... head over all things to the church. Now, who's the church?
Here we are.
That's us down here. So he's head over all things to us. So we're in him. So everything in heaven and earth is available to us. Now, you've got to start raising. Like, remember Ian said there a few moments ago? 21 days. What does that do? You form a habit. Change your thinking. And then 90 days and you form a lifestyle. That's why L-E. We form a lifestyle. So when we start to change our habit of thinking, well, I can't. I won't be able to. You know, I'm only, like, I'm the little toe on the left foot in the body of Christ. I'm not worth anything. Well, if you're the little toe on the left foot of the body of Christ, guess what? Everything's under your feet. Think about it. Everything in heaven and earth is ours. Number three. What do you think it might be? What's this one over here? The kingdom. Remember we said we're heirs and joint heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. But we've got to put it in a scriptural basis. In Colossians 1:12. Somebody find it for me? Colossians 1 and verse 12.
Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meek to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now listen to the Amplified. Giving thanks to the Father who is qualified and made us fit to share in the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, that is God's holy people, in the light. So, we are to share in this kingdom. We're part of the kingdom, we're the members of the kingdom, but we also have access to the kingdom and all that the kingdom has. Now, the next thing, of course, is, in this side, we are his inheritance. But in this side, our inheritance includes him. Jesus. Put Jesus in there in case you think I'm referring to someone else. Jesus. So our inheritance includes him. Psalm 16, verse 5, and Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verse 26 it is. Okay, anyone find those for me and we'll have another little look. Anyone find Psalm 16 yet? I'm almost there. Okay, read it if you find it.
To the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight.
Psalm 16, verse 5.
Oh, sorry, that's the third one. I have that one.
Yeah.
The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot.
Okay, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. The Amplified says, the Lord is my chosen and assigned portion, my cup, you hold and maintain my lot. So the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. What about 73:26? My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. The Amplified says, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the rock and the firm strength of my heart and my portion forever. Think about that. Well, he is my portion forever. Him, Jesus. So our inheritance not only is his name, everything in heaven and earth, the kingdom, but we have him. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with him. Now, have you got enough of that all on there? Because I'm going to start wiping it off. And I want you to turn to the Gospel of St. Luke. Look at Luke. I love this whiteboard. I think we'll take it up to Wallen. They might.
Amen.
Have to get one up there. Talk to John, see if he'd buy one. Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, Gospel of Luke chapter 15. That's chapter 15. We're going to read some verses starting at 11. To about 31. Okay. Luke's Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke's Gospel. Now, in Luke's Gospel, we're reading here from chapter 15. And this, if you haven't already picked up on it, is the story about this, the little subheading here says, the parable of a lost son. But we know it as the parable of the what? The prodigal. The prodigal. Okay. So let's just quickly read through it and for the benefit of anyone who has not read it for a little while. And I'll read it from the King James. It says, and a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. He divided unto them his living. Now you'll have to remember that. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. Not a good place for a little Jewish boy. Verse 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks. That's the shells. That's what's left after the good has come out of the pod, so that's the shell, the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And he said to himself, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and yet I perish with hunger? Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. I'll say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. Notice the order here. I've sinned against heaven and before thee. So God was first. I've sinned against heaven and before thee. Verse 19, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son, so make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But his father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now think about that for a moment. See, he said, my son was dead. Now, the son wasn't dead, but he was dead to his position as the son. He might as well have been dead. This my son was dead and is alive again. Verse 25. Now the elder son was in the field. When he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and he asked him what this meant. And he said to them, thy brother has come, and his father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and he would not go in, and therefore his father came out and entreated him. And he answering him said, Father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, now notice how he says, he didn't say as soon as my brother was come. He says, as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured your living with harlots, and thou hast killed the fatted calf for him. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad for this thy brother. See, the father's getting it back into priority again. This, your brother was dead, he's alive, he was lost, and is found. Now, this is not just a story about one son, it's a story about two sons. It's not just the story of the prodigal son who was out there wasting all the father's substance and he came back. And it's used a lot in religious areas, and evangelists use it, and they tell the story and they say, well, you've been out, you've been unkind, and you've been unfaithful and all those things. Now you can come back and be received. But it's not just about that. There's much more to the story than that. The prodigal son, we'll put over this side, the P-R-O-D-I-G-A-L. This is the prodigal son. Just note some things about him. He had a change of heart. So we just put change. Change of heart. He was in a mess. But he had a change of heart, and he went from being rebellious to being humble. He said, I made a mess of it. I made a mistake. I'll go back. I'll tell my father, Father, I'm sorry. Just make me a servant. I'm happy to work for you. I'll just work for you as a servant. I don't even want to be recognized as your son anymore. See, the thing about these days, folks, is this. These people knew the difference between a son and a servant. Now, that's something we've lost. You know, people say, oh, I wish I had a servant. If I had a maid at the house, she could do all the washing and the cleaning, make the beds, cook the meals. But that's a concept of what can I get out of having someone else work for me, and I would be the boss and they would be the worker. But that's not the understanding. See, the message that we're teaching you today is that God wants us to live as sons. Next week we'll get into teaching you, God wants us to live as sons who are willing to serve. That's where we're taking this message to next week. But this week, the prodigal son, as we're talking about, he had a change of heart. He was willing to forego all his rights as a son. He gave up his rights. Does this sort of sound familiar to another passage of scripture that talks about the father who gave his son? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his son. So in a way, it's almost like a type of Jesus leaving heaven's best, his glory, and becoming as a servant. The scripture says he took on him the form of a servant. So you can see in this story also the fact that as Jesus came down and became a servant, he could win all of these servants, you and I, to come back into the Father's family. So he gave up what he had in order to be, he was willing to be a servant. Because he recognized he'd made a mistake. And that's the big thing in life, when you realize you've made a mistake. And you're willing to say, God, I'm sorry, I've missed it. Remember, 1 John 1:9 says, when we sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. When we come back again, he forgives us. He forgives us. All right, so what about the older one, the older brother? Let's look at him for a second. Older brother, or son, doesn't matter. So the older brother, he was very conscious of what he had done. Remember the words here in Luke 15. He answers, God says, lo, all these many years I've served thee. So he's very conscious of the many years he had served. And then he's telling the father. I mean, do you think the father didn't know that? He says, Father, all these many years I've served you, but yet you never ever, I never transgressed, but you never gave me a kid that I might have a party. Now, back up to verse 11, 12. Verse 11, a father had two sons. The younger said of them, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he, the father, divided his inheritance. This guy got the same as this one. They both got the same. He divided. That means down the middle. They both got the same. All right? So in him saying, you never gave me anything, doesn't wash. Because he gave him half. He already had it. He could have gone any time and had a party if he'd wanted to. He had a, listen, as the firstborn, okay, he was the firstborn. As the firstborn, he had, by inheritance, a double portion right. Because he was the firstborn, he had a right to the double portion, but he never used it. Never took it. This guy said, I want my share. I'm going to take it. And he did. He had a right to it, but he never took it. Some of you are sitting here today. You have a right to a double portion, if you want to, inheritance, being in the firstborn. But you've never taken it up. You come back and say, oh God, I need this. I need that. I need to pay my bills this month. I need to buy a new car. Start receiving what's rightfully yours. You have a right to these things. He never received it because he never asked for it. He had the responsibility, not only, now remember with every giving there's also a responsibility. He had the responsibility of the firstborn, and as the firstborn son, it was his responsibility, according to the law, to go and bring this fellow home again, but he didn't do it. Scripture says that. He had to take over when the father wasn't there to do it. So the father was too old to go and do that. So he had a responsibility to go after the prodigal or his younger brother and bring him back out of the state that he was in. He didn't do it. So he didn't fulfill his responsibilities as the firstborn son. Now listen. He lived as a servant. Even though he was by right a son. All of my life I've served you, he said. I've never done anything wrong, but you never gave me a kid even that I could go and have a party with my friend. So he had rights as a son, but he chose to live as a servant. He was out working in the fields. Listen to it again. I mean, a lot of people never see these. It says, the elder son was in the field, verse 25. And as he came near and drew near to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. What's he doing out in the field? He's supposed to be the son of the family. He's not to be working. He's to be supervising. He's to sit in the nice air-conditioned building and say, oh, this is what, bring me another drink, servant. But he's out here in the field because he's got this mentality that I must work for it. And then he got angry when the other fella got it all. Listen to it. So he lived as a servant and not as a son. The robe, listen, the robe and this fellow, he got the robe. He got the ring. And he got the sandals. The robe and the ring were the right of the firstborn. Because the firstborn didn't take him, the father gave him to the other fellow. And he got the sandals because he said, I want to be a servant. A servant went barefoot. He didn't have any sandals. So the father says, no, you're going to have sandals. You're not a servant. You're my son. Think about all these things. Now, this second fellow, he did not honor his father. He didn't honor his father. It says, when he was asked to join in the celebration, he rebelled. He had a rebellious heart. Just like some people in some churches today. Then not only that, we'll just put it up here, he despised his brother. Do you think these are signs of a Christian? He despised his brother. He wasn't going to be even in the same room as him. He was angry with his father. Now, 1 John, we need to read this. John 3:15. Keep your place. I just want to quickly scoot over to this one for you. Hebrews, where are we? 1 John 3:15. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. He despised his brother. God looked on him as a murderer. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer in God's eyes. Now, not only that, he was self-righteous. He was also self-centered. O-E-R-E-D. He was self-centered. And he didn't receive back his brother. Now, just think about all these things. Here's this fellow. He's a son, but he says, I've wasted it. I've missed it. Well, he's got a repentant heart. He says, oh, I've really made a mess of it. I've mucked it all up. I'll go back, and I'm just happy to be a servant. I'll become a servant. And I'll just serve my father. But when he comes back, the father says, no, you're going to be a son. You're not going to put on those sandals. You're not going to be without sandals. You're going to put them on. So when the prodigal realized that what he did was totally wrong, he was wrong. He made a mess of it. But when he eventually came to his senses, says, when he came to himself, but verse, what, 13, 14? Verse 17. When he came to himself, when he came to his senses, he didn't continue in the error. He changed. The older brother continued in his error. He didn't change. He said, no, I'm not going in. No, I'm not. You never, it's all your fault, Father. You're the one. Blame. Not my fault. I'm good. I'm self-righteous. It's all your fault. Everybody's fault but mine. Most Christians really have the same kind of approach to God as the older brother had. Think about that. I'm making a statement. They're striving to become good enough to be accepted as a son. Most Christians, I guarantee you, if you go to any church in this town of Melbourne, not just this area, but in this whole town of Melbourne, you go to any church, I don't care where it is, in this church tonight, and you ask them, are you a servant of God? They say, oh yes, I'm a servant of God. Well, I tell them, I'm not a servant of God. I'm a son of God. Because I got revelation. I am not a servant. I am a son. But I am a son who's willing to serve. Jesus came. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Why? I'm in him. So when we begin to understand this, see, we can fall away from the blessing of God in our lives in probably two ways. Number one, just by sin. And we can also fall away by the law or by legalism, saying that we're less than we are. We make these statements, oh, well, you know, I'm not worthy to be called your son. And they read about Jacob and say, well, he's worse than a worm. I'm only a worm, God. No, you're not. I'm a son of the living God. I used to be in the world. I was a bouncer. I beat people up with these fists. I beat people up out there in the world. I did all those things. But I repented. And I came back and God said, come in. Put on the sandals. Put on the ring. Put on the robe. I had all the rights of a firstborn son, even though I had been a prodigal. I had all the rights. But you see, there's a lot of people who are in churches. They have all the rights, but they're acting like servants. Now, are you getting what I'm trying to say to you today? You see, the difference is this. In my case and in the prodigal son's, I accepted the grace of God. I took God's grace. I accepted it. And I came into all the privileges and rights of being a son. But also remember, I said, when you become a son and you receive all the privileges, you also have the responsibilities. Remember that. And we don't have time. We've got about another 5 or 6 minutes left. We don't have a lot of time left. We've already done, wow, we've done 38, 39 minutes already on this. I don't know where the time goes, but our time is almost gone. God's desire for us is to grow into mature sons. Now, when it says mature, sometimes the references say perfect. It just means mature or growing up. That we're not just going to be somebody who's sort of standing on the end of the line, you know. And do you remember the story where it says that even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table? See, a lot of Christians think they're like the dogs. Well, if we get a little crumb, we'll be all right. Hey, I'm not interested in little crumbs. I'm interested in sitting down at the table with the Lord. And every time we sit down at the table, whether if we're in a restaurant, and, you know, we'll probably eat somewhere tonight, when we go and sit down at the table, we'll just hold hands and say, Father, I recognize that you're the head of our family, and we bless this food in Jesus' name. We sanctify it by prayer and by your word, and we always invite the Lord to sit at our table. And you need to do that, because, I mean, if you're going to eat some of the stuff that they put up to you, you really want to pray the blessing of God on it. Do you know what I'm getting at? See, we are not just sons who act like servants. We are sons who choose to serve. My job is to serve you. That's what I'm trying. I'm doing this to the best of my ability. I spend time. I just didn't sort of sit down, you know, yesterday and say, oh, I think that'll do. No, I've spent a bit of time getting these two studies. That's next week's. Here we go. God wants us to be willing to live as sons who serve. We'll get into that next week. We'll take this a step further and show you some more things from that when we get into this next week. We'll talk about love slaves. We're to love God. What are the qualities of a servant? And what about being a faithful servant? A full of faith servant. So that's what we're going to get to next week. But our time's gone. So let's just, have you got what I'm saying to you today? We are sons of God, and God wants us to start and act like sons. He doesn't want us to act like servants. He wants us to act like his son. We are to become more and more like Jesus. Because what does Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 say? I know you know Russell. Galatians chapter 2, he knows all the scriptures I use. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, it is no longer I that liveth, but it is Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I live in this life by his faith. And there are four references in the scripture, and I'm not going to give them to you now. Perhaps next week we may, if I remember to do it. But there are four references in the scripture. Just one is in Habakkuk chapter 2, one is in Romans, one is in Galatians, and one is in Hebrews, and it says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So we live by faith in the fact that we are sons of the living God. Now listen, take that one little step further as we close. You are not a sick person hoping to get well. You're a son of God. The devil has got you believing you're sick. In other words, when you get sick, you step down from your sonship position. You become like a servant, and you've got to come back and beg to be healed. Oh, dear Abby. You've got to come back and beg for healing. No, you don't have to do that. You just start walking in health, walking in divine health. Same with your finances. You don't have to go and say, oh, God, I need another $100 this week to pay the car or pay the mortgage or pay my rent. You don't have to do that. The scripture says, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 15, I think it is, it says that God is the one who gives you the power to get wealth. Doesn't say he gives you wealth. He gives you the power to get the wealth. Why do you think he brings along good ideas? Hallelujah. Let's close. Father, we thank you for the teaching time. And Lord, as we just now consider our giving to the work of ministry and our tithes and our offerings, then Father, we ask that you would bless everything we do, because as we do things in the name of Jesus. Father, we don't want to be like the prodigal son who stayed out there, but we want to be like the prodigal son who came to his senses and came back. We want to be like the prodigal son who came back and had all the rights and privileges of the firstborn thrust on him because he was willing to give up his old life. We don't want to be like the other older brother who, even though he had all the rights and privileges, he acted like a servant. We want to be your sons. We want to be recognized as sons of the living God. And Father, we pray that these things we've said today will help each of us understand and come up a rung on the ladder so we'll be more like your sons, be more like Jesus. And Father, that we will be a blessing to you and a blessing to the people that we meet day by day. So we say these things in and through the name of Jesus. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ian, if you want to do the last few minutes.
Praise the Lord. That's like having a four-course meal. That's chock-a-block full of the Word. That's good. Your spirit man should be full now. Praise the Lord. That's